And we will see you next week at the same time. Well, we hope so anyway.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Well, good evening. I'm your host, Deborah Lucero, a director of Friends of the Arts Butte County, a state local partner with the California Arts Council. This show is designed to explore our region's rich history of natural, historical, cultural arts and business assets. And tonight in studio, I have a visitor who has been a frequent guest on this show, Stephanie Yonkers, who is with DCBA, or the Downtown Chico Business Association. Hello, Stephanie.
Hi. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so, you know, you're getting into your groove. I think it's coming up, huh?
Yeah. Our main event season kicks off a week from today, actually, with the Thursday Night Market.
Oh, man, that's like putting on a wedding every week.
It is. It's a huge undertaking, and so many partners that collaborate on this. It's, you know, like putting a gigantic puzzle together. Super fun, super stressful, and really exciting to see it come to fruition.
Yeah, you know, I notice how thin you are, and I'm sure that's from running around the downtown Chico, trying to keep all the cats herded together.
And yeah, there's a lot of running around. I try to lead by example, so, I mean, I'm out there cleaning and lifting and moving too and getting ready. So, yeah, it's a pretty active, very active role this time of year for me.
So now, believe it or not, there might be somebody out there that doesn't realize what is Thursday Night Market. How long has it been around?
This is our 19th season.
Wow.
In downtown Chico. So the market is every Thursday night. It's 6 months, so it's April through September every year. And we basically close down sort of the core of downtown Broadway from 2nd to 5th. It's filled with vendors and then a couple of the side streets. So you'll find vendors on 3rd Street, one block of 4th Street, and then the City Plaza, which we try to engage and utilize as much as we can, especially for like big special events during the market.
Right. And isn't there a farmer's market as part of this? And because I know a lot of people, if they don't pick up their fresh vegetables and all that good stuff on Saturday, then they can always do it on Thursday too.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for mentioning that. We are a certified market, a California certified market, which basically means that everything you see out there that's being sold is being grown or produced by the person that is selling it to you. There's no selling, reselling, or anything like that. All of those vendors have been certified by the county and the state, and they guarantee that they're producing all of that they're selling to you, which is a really awesome element. You know, you can really get to know the people who are growing your food. And a lot of people really, it's important to a lot of people.
Seems like I see a lot of restaurants shopping there.
We do. We have a lot of restaurants that, you know, get their supplies both at the Thursday market and the Saturday market for sure. You know, shopping local and buying local food movement. So big right now. So, yeah.
It really is. So now, how long have you been with the Downtown Chico Business Association?
I am going into my 8th season. You know, I started out as a part-time event staff person 10 hours a week and just kind of evolved, and now I'm pretty much running all of the events. So the market, although it's huge and it's 26 weeks out of the year, is really like about an eighth of what I do right now.
Oh my goodness.
But it's fun, you know, and it's, I really, really enjoy it. I love my Thursdays. I love the people that come out, you know, I love the relationships that I've built with the vendors, and it's a really huge part of what we do.
Now, how many people actually get downtown on a Thursday night? I know that opening night, it might be a little lighter than normal because people aren't quite in the groove,
mm-hmm.
Which it opens April 2nd?
April 2nd, a week from today, is opening night. And you're right about that. The first market doesn't tend to be the biggest one, but the second one is the market that, if you look back historically, it's the market we just want to bottle and reproduce. It's like all the elements come together for some reason that second week in April. So I'd love to have the first market be big and grand. expand, but I understand that people are sort of getting into their new routines.
Right.
So we estimate between 8,000 and 10,000 people are coming down on a Thursday night, you know, milling through the market, stopping in the plaza to see what's going on, or just supporting some of our downtown restaurants and shops.
So do you have any new elements or anything that is special about this this upcoming 26-week run?
Yeah. You know, everything's special. We've talked before about our emphasis on cleanliness and safety in the downtown, and that's something that my staff is committed to. We're working very closely with Chico PD. We're working very closely with AG Private Security and our Downtown Ambassador Program, and really putting together a coordinated effort to make sure that we're offering a clean, wholesome, family-friendly environment. And it's something that we are thinking about constantly. Yeah. With everything we do. So we're excited because we have some great ideas that we're rolling out and trying some new things to incorporate, you know, to try and reach those goals. I mean, the food, if you're coming down hungry, you will not want for anything. We have so many prepared food vendors this year, more food trucks than ever.
How many food trucks do you have, and what does it range from?
That's a really good question. It ranges from everything. I mean, we've got Chicobies this year. We've got tamales. We've got Chico Chuck Wagon. We've got all the usuals, Smoke and Moe's, and we've got Kinder's. We've got Truckaroni and Wander Food. And, I mean, I could literally go on and on. We have smoothies, and we have Gogi's Indian. We have Guzzetti's Indian. I mean, really.
Gogi's is doing a truck, huh?
They're actually in a booth. I'm just kind of rattling off the variety of food that you can find when you come down. But anyway, that particular area of the market tends to be really hot, you know, and it's really growing. And we've actually had to turn down some food vendors. Like, logistically, we just are out of space. But that's exciting because they're seeing the value in being part of this community event, and that's going to bring more guests down.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So what else would you like to talk about? Is there something, I know I keep hearing about this Plaza Palooza.
That's a good one. A couple things. Well, we're really focusing on programming the City Plaza. We've talked a little bit about that too. It's our plaza, our picnic in the plaza on Tuesday afternoons is part of that mission. But during the Thursday night market, our goal is to have big events in the plaza at least 10 weeks out of the year. And right now we're on track for about 13, which is really exciting. And basically what that means is we're bringing in organizations that are looking for a venue to hold a big special event.
Sure.
And we're sort of loaning them the space, which means we pay the fees that are associated and things
that,
and provide guidance through the planning process. Plaza Palooza is one of our first events coming up in April. That is a KZFR event, so we're excited about that.
Yay!
It's going to be fun. We have Growing Up Chico that's doing a great family-friendly event. Of course, the Annie B. Drive will be happening in September. The Book in Common is going to take over one night to kick off this year's Book in Common. That's Chico State. Chico State School of the Arts is going to take over one night and do a big art and music event. We're working with Soul ID to come out and do like an extreme sports event. There's so many. And we're just excited because the more you use the plaza and bring people in for these great events, you know, the better crowd is downtown.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, so do we have any special music that we're going to listen to, local music tonight? I'm asking my guy over here, you know, at the board. He was asleep at the wheel. And I don't think we're really going to play Asleep at the Wheel, but I think he was asleep at the wheel.
The other thing real quick is just to remind people that the streets are closed from 5 to 10 on those Thursdays. So you may have to park a block away and walk in. It'll be well worth it. But make sure that if you are parked in the downtown on Broadway between 2nd and 5th or one of those side streets, that your car is moved by 5 o'clock on Thursdays for the rest of the summer, really.
Yeah, the rest of the summer. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens if you don't move your car?
Oh, I don't want to answer that. We don't tow vehicles. The PD will cite vehicles, and the unfortunate part is they're usually parked in a space where a vendor is supposed to set up. So we have to relocate that vendor, around them, block them in. It's not a good situation. We try to avoid it. We always try and find the owners of those cars in the stores before the vendors start to set up, and really try to nip that in the bud.
Now, for those who don't know where to park, where is a good place to park when you're coming down on that Thursday night? A lot of times people don't realize what's going on. All of a sudden the streets are closed and they're going, what's happening?
Yeah. I mean, the parking structure at 3rd and Salem is a great spot. The Chico Municipal lot is available after hours. It's over there by the Muni Building.
City Hall, I think that's where I always park.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, it's a block away from the City Plaza.
Yeah.
And other than that, you know, side streets, you only have to feed the meter until 6 o'clock. So after six, parking is free on any of those side streets. So it's not really hard if you're willing to walk a block or two.
Right.
To find a spot.
And we all should be willing to at least
or
walk.
Ride your bike down. I should say that Chico Velo provides complimentary bike valet.
Oh, really?
At our event.
Where at? Where,
it's
where
on,
do they have
it's
that?
On 3rd Street between Broadway and Salem, so near the certified grower area.
Okay.
And it's an exciting program. They started it with us many years ago, and we're just trying to grow it and grow it. They have it at the Saturday Market now, too, and at some other community events. But it's a really neat service, and again, it is free. They do take donations, of course. They're a nonprofit. But you can come down. You don't need a bike lock. You can pull your bike in. They'll give you a little ticket. They'll park your bike. It's safe and secure for the night. And then you can come back and pick it up at the end. So we strongly encourage people to ride their bikes downtown.
That's awesome. So, and you touched briefly on this, the Clean and Safe program. Is there anything that you want? Are you still looking for volunteers? Are you still trying to, you know?
Yeah. You know, we're always looking to bolster our ambassador program, our market ambassador, or sorry, our downtown ambassador program is a group of volunteers that are just downtown as a welcoming presence. They do some cleaning and they do some, you know, giving out maps and for tourists and things like that. But primarily, they're just there to make people feel comfortable coming downtown again. So we're always looking for volunteers for our ambassador program. We are, of course, always looking for support for the private security that we are funding.
Right.
The goal is to find some sustainable funding for security as early as, you know, spring of 2016. But we have to figure out how to pay for that until then. So, yes, we are fundraising. We have a charitable trust set up at North Valley Community Foundation, Downtown Chico Clean and Safe. You can get there right from our website, downtownchico.com. It's a link right on our homepage.
Okay.
So our message in this collaborative campaign is that it's our community and our responsibility. So really, it's everybody's responsibility to help us get through this.
Now, what's it cost to do something like that? I mean, you know, I know that it was on the front page of the newspaper not long ago.
Well, the security is the most expensive part of that. It's about $10,000 a month is what we're having to raise to cover. That also covers our Jesus Center cleanup brigade. Those are paid Jesus Center clients that
are
downtown.
So you're creating some jobs.
Absolutely.
Too.
And we have some great success stories coming out of that. That's something we're very excited about. But yeah, so every morning you're seeing those people downtown cleaning up the streets. They are getting paid for their time, and they're, you know, getting good work experience. So that's one thing. Then we have our ambassador program. Coordinating all that takes money. And then we have our private security. So those are sort of the three elements that are part of our campaign that we're fundraising for.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you are one busy lady. I thought I was busy. You're making me tired.
I am tired.
All right. Well, my name's Deborah Lucero, and you're listening to Butte Views and Beyond. And I'm in studio with Stephanie Yonker with the Downtown Chico Business Association. And she is just about to embark on a 26-week odyssey, one that is in its 19th year. You know, Chico has really quite a famous Thursday night market. It really is. People from all over the country have heard about this market. It's, you know, we get a little colloquial around here, and we think we're the biggest and the best and the brightest. But people are impressed with our Thursday night market.
It's true. It's pretty often we see it in places like Sunset Magazine or some sort of a nationwide, you know, food comparison or something for the things that we offer. And we rank pretty high. And that excites us, but it's a lot of hard work putting that on. We were kind of joking in the office today. We were talking about what can we be world famous for? And, you know, we kind of are world famous for that. I don't know about world famous, but, you know, we always strive for excellence. We're constantly making little tweaks, little changes here and there, trying to do things better, and making it so that Thursday night, that is where you are. If you live in Chico, that's where you are. You come downtown, you support your local shops and restaurants and your farmers. That's what we do on Thursday night. So, yeah, we would like to be world famous for that.
That's good. That's a good note to go out on. Again, this is Butte Views and Beyond. I'm your host, Deborah Lucero, and we'll be back right after this little bit of musical interlude. Light, Butte Views and Beyond is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festivals and events, including Arttoberfest, Chico Palio, the True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn more about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And by Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, producers of locally crafted ales and beer since 1981. The Sierra Nevada Brewing Company also offers fine dining at their tap room and restaurant at 1075 East 20th Street in Chico. More information at sierranevada.com. Welcome back to Butte Views and Beyond. I'm your host, Deborah Lucero. And I have in studio with me Stephen Cummins, who is the director of, is that correct? Director of Chico Performances?
That's what they're calling me these days.
Okay, yeah. All right, we'll take that and a bunch of other stuff,
too. It seems like it's duties as assigned. You know how that goes.
Yeah, I do. I do know how that goes. We were listening to Jim Schmidt there with the Groove Diggers, Take the A Train, and we just got to see Jim and four vocalists do Billy Strayhorn. I think that was the hostess.
Wasn't me.
It wasn't you.
I plead the fifth.
Okay. Terrible. All right. Anyway, I was back to Jim Schmidt and the Groove Diggers. They did a fabulous, fabulous performance. Four local vocalists. It was just incredible. We had a couple of interns from Chico State.
Oh, fantastic.
And, you know, the crowd was a little old that was listening to this whole thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then you had these two young, experienced, let me put it that way, experienced, mature audience, yes. And then you had these two young Chico State students, and they loved it.
They ate it up, didn't they?
They ate it up.
Yeah. Right now, I've got all these students in the office who, because we have to educate a lot of the students because all of our tickets are sold by students and our houses are managed by students. And so we try to introduce them to a lot of these artists that we're bringing. And so all of a sudden we're on the jazz kick, part of the NorCal Jazz Festival. We've got Arturo O'Farrell coming, and they were playing Arturo O'Farrell in the box office, and you could just see all the heads start bopping, and you know they're like, wow, this is cool. This is pretty cool. You know,
yeah.
They get that Latin rhythm start going, and the shoulders start moving, and they were starting to have a really good time. And I said, guys, you know, you got to come out for this. This is going to be a good one.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I think that's why we do this.
Absolutely. We do it. I do it because I love to watch audience reactions.
Yeah.
You know, I love that. You know, we were talking about it a little before, is when that artist and the audience meet halfway and there's that connection.
Yeah.
And that's the sweet spot. That's where the magic happens.
Yep.
And there's just no two ways about that. You don't get it at home sitting listening to a CD or you know, streaming your music or doing whatever. You don't get it from downloading a video and watching it. You get it in a room with strangers in the dark.
Yeah.
With stage lights on and an audience who's putting that out there, and you're willing to receive it. And it's just a beautiful thing.
You know, it always amazes me that there are many, many, many people, and maybe even people that are listening to this broadcast today, that have never experienced live music or a live dance on stage or theater. And, you know, that always kind of blows me away because it is so different, and it does change your life. And when you do it enough, it begins to change you.
Right.
It begins to change your brain.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons at Chico Performances we're so committed to our field trip program and presenting art for young people, because we understand as adults that the arts are transformational and they're inspirational, and as soon as we can let that kid who's having their first experience at a live performance, and that's how a lot of kids in this town are. You know, their first time is that when that bus, you know, in second grade drops them off at Laxon Auditorium, and they go in and they see, you know, a dance company. Last week it was Amy Seiwert's dance company from San Francisco was performing, and we had 400 kids in there. They came from Durham. They came from local Chico schools and had that experience. And that's what we want to do, is we want to – it's, you know, I sometimes call it drive-by art. We throw art at kids, and we hope a little bit sticks.
Sure.
And if the teacher then can take it back into the school afterwards and reinforce it, and then that student can say, you know, I want to see something again, or I want to make art.
Right.
I want to perform. I want to play. I want to learn an instrument. I want to sing. You know, if they can have that experience and then understand that it is a possibility. Yeah. That's sort of our job.
It is our job. It is our job as adults, as parents, as participants in a local community.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been there. Oh, you've been at Chico now, at Chico State, for how long?
25 years.
Yeah, right.
It feels like that some days. No. A year and a half. A year and a half. I've been director of public events. So that's, you know, as we said, Chico Performances, it's North State Public Radio, it's ticketing, duties as assigned, it's now become commencement.
Oh, dear, you're in charge of commencement too?
We're our office are the commencement people. So, yeah, congratulations or condolences. I'm not sure which is the, is it true. No, it's really exciting. You know, it's, they moved it over to our office because we're the show people. You know,
right.
We put on shows every week.
It's true.
just a big show.
It's just another event.
The costumes, pretty hats,
yeah.
You know, nice robes. Everybody
hot.
Hot.
What are you going to do about that?
You don't need that. I'm going to cool everyone down. I remember when I attended Farm Aid 2 a long time ago when it was lined with Willie Nelson's birthday party. I think the highlight of the concert was when they you know, turned the water hoses on us. You know, it was 4th of July in Central Texas. We were dying out there.
Yeah.
Finally got that. I if you ask me what band played after 7 o'clock, I couldn't tell you. I had heat stroke by
of
then.
Of course, of course. Well, that's going to be interesting. So, so what are some of the things, the new things that you've introduced over at Chico State? I have to tell you, I have seen almost a transformation in just the kinds of things that you're doing and the speed at which you've gotten all this done. I mean, 18 months to put some of these things in place, that really does say something about your leadership and your vision for the community.
I think we have a really good team. And a couple of things that we've sort of adopted with Chico Performances is we're trying to do some outreach and some things where we put artists out into the community in different ways. So, you know, it was our Alpenhong tour earlier in the year. This last week with the dance festival we've been producing, rather than just bring the artist into the theater and say, you must come here, we've taken Joe Good out, and he's done these wonderful workshops called Movement for Humans with older adults. And he has also then created a piece around older adult stories. So we partnered with the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, and they chose 4 or 5 people to give their stories, their monologues, to Joe. And he interviewed them, and then he created dance out of their stories. And last night when we presented it, it was such a wonderful thing. Like I said before, it's when that audience and the artist meet halfway. That audience, they were speaking their words, and they were talking about growing old and then showing it in dance, and they really met halfway, and it was just a beautiful connection.
Sounds beautiful. It really sounds beautiful.
So we're trying to reach out in those ways. I think just from a programming point of view, we're taking some risks. We're not afraid to add on a show. So this year we've added on, you know, an evening with Jeff Bridges. We threw that into the mix. We added on Lyle Lovett, and we threw him into a mix. If somebody's coming down I-5 and we can grab him, we're going to try to do it. If we think it's a good show for Chico.
Sure.
On next Monday, the Million Dollar Quartet, that was an add-on too. Our theater doesn't support big Broadway shows as well as some other theaters, just because of the size of the stage and there's no real orchestra pit and all of those drawbacks. But when you see a Broadway show like Million Dollar Quartet, and I I was lucky enough to see the original cast when it started in Chicago, and it's just a fantastic show. It's this idea that there was truly one night when Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Elvis Presley, you know, they were all recording at the same studio in Memphis. They were all owned by the same studio until they started, you know, breaking away to the big record labels as they started to snatch them. But Sun Records said, you know, one night they were all in the same studio. And they have a picture of this. Wow. And so the writers of this musical said, what would that jam session have been like?
Wow.
If this is the Million Dollar Quartet. And so the actors in the stage, they all play. They're amazing musicians. They sing. You know, it's
fabulous.
It's not just a tribute show. It really is a story because they weave in the whole idea of you know, Jerry Lee Lewis was one of the artists that stayed with the record label the longest. But you know, Elvis was the first to go, and in the show, you're seeing, you know, Carl Perkins and Johnny Cash, or you know. I've gone, you know, who's going to be the next to jump? No, stay with us, you know. And there's that drama of, you know, this is where my art, you know, I was nurtured, but it's now time to go on to Columbia or to AR, or, you know, the big labels. And so they jump ship. But it's a rockin' fun musical.
Wow. So that, now, was that traveling down I-5?
Exactly. We got a call from an agent, and we got to talking about it, and he said, you know, if you're willing to do it on a Monday night, I can stop in Chico.
Wow.
And that's how we get lucky, you know. That's it's great being right off of I-5.
Yeah, it's true.
And a lot of things come through that we just are the right venue at the right time and the right place. And if you're willing to snap it up and move quick, and that's why we've been able to do some add-ons.
Nice.
So it's fun. That's a fun part of it.
So what are some other things that are coming up? I know that you're right in the middle of the dance project.
We are. Dance Chico is truly right in the middle. Tonight is our spotlight performances. It's featuring some of our favorite and best and most wonderful local choreographers and dancers and schools and ensembles. So and they come from all over. We have a group coming from Orland down from Paradise.
Nice.
So we've got some dancers coming in from a little farther away than just right here in Chico, but great Chico. Inspire High School, Kinetics, Hype. Just wonderful.
It's amazing,
yeah,
all the dance.
Chico
in this
Community
town.
Ballet, yeah. the ballet from Paradise is coming down. So it's really, really a great celebration of dance. And then on Saturday night, we're inviting everyone to come down to 3rd Street between Broadway and Main and dance in the street. We've got a DJ, he's going to spin some tunes.
How fun!
We've got some sort of flash mob dance experiences planned for it. The food trucks will be out. We're going to close off that block and just have what we're calling Broadway Boogie. Just come
nice.
Down and have a street dance, bring the kids, family friendly. Powell's will be open and serving gelato all night long. So it'll be a really great, fun event. And then on Saturday is the culminating piece, the Joe Good Performance Group that's in from San Francisco, who's been with us all week doing the residency and working with Ollie. They're going to perform their evening of repertory called Hush. And so that sort of caps Dance Week. And then we take a bit of a breath on Sunday, and it's Million Dollar Quartet on Monday.
Wow.
The Pink Floyd Experience on Wednesday.
Wow.
And then we jump to Buddy Guy on the 7th.
Yep.
And there's no slouch there.
No kidding.
And,
how old is that guy?
You know,
I mean, seriously.
Well, he's one of the granddads of the blues right now. I mean,
yeah.
It's B.B. King and it's Buddy Guy.
Yeah.
And you know, really the two guys who are carrying the torch. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And
I saw him climb all the flights of stairs at Cascade Theater in Reading.
Oh,
all
really?
The way to the top.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought, I can't believe, just to say hi to the back row. Nice guy.
That's a performer.
That's
that is a performer.
A real performer.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And then the last event in April for us is Arturo O'Farrell Octet on the 11th, part of the NorCal Jazz Festival. So,
all right. And speaking of that, I think we should hear
a little Arturo.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Let's hear a little bit. A little bit of the jazz that we're going to be hearing at NorCal Jazz and with Arturo, and we're really grateful to Chico State for programming something during the jazz festival. And
absolutely, our pleasure. Great jazz. Jazz should be listened to everywhere as much as can, much as possible.
Oh, I completely agree. And speaking of that, it kind of kicks off. We started the 22nd with the Groove Diggers and Jim Schmidt, who did a presentation with some vocalists, Billy Strayhorn, and that other really famous guy whose name just escapes me at this moment. Duke Ellington. There we go.
There you go.
And then April 11th with Arturo, and then on the 18th we go up to Reading and we have several performers including the Bumptet and Bog and the Charles Bologna Trio up there, and then we come back down to the Big Room and we've got Delbert Bump and the Groove Diggers, the Dave Valky Trio, Allison Skull and Victor Martin. They're out of Durham. They're really Durham. They're out of Dunsmuir.
Oh, fantastic.
And then also Eldridge Stoyanov Trio. Flying Eldridge Stoyanov Trio. I just dare you to say that like three or four times. But anyway, and then there's a free one in there that I forgot to mention, and that is on April 17th at the Chico City Plaza. There's a free concert with Bog and the Bumptet. Again, this is all part of NorCal Jazz Festival, and you can go to norcaljazzfestival.com to learn more. So that's one of our partnerships. And then Chico State, Chico Performances, was gracious to bring Alpen Hong to not one county, not two counties,
but five counties. That was a lot of fun. We should have had our heads examined for that. We had a great time, and it was, I sort of always say that, the secret to presenting and sort of being successful is partnerships.
Yeah.
So we just had a great one with Osher Lifelong Learning Institute.
Yeah.
And back in the fall, we had a partnership with five arts councils. And so because these people were willing to play with us in the sandbox, we were able to bring a concert pianist to Chico, to Red Bluff, to several places in Redding, up to Weaverville, and then Mount Shasta City, and finally into Weed.
Did you go to Wairika too, or just Weed?
We didn't make it to Wairika. We made it as far north as we got was Weed at the College of the Siskiyous.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
And so did different events with Alpen everywhere. Sometimes he was giving a concert performance. Sometimes he was performing for kids. Sometimes he was doing master classes with piano students. Sometimes he was just talking to folks, but he was one of those kinds of artists that, what we said at earlier is transformational.
Yeah. No, people are still talking about it. I can't even tell you. Yeah. Every time I go somewhere, especially in Reading, somebody heard him, one of their kids saw him.
Yeah.
It's just really changed that community. And another comment was, a woman that I know who has a couple of Asian children adopted in China said, "I can do that. He looked like me."
There you go.
And so, you know, that was the first time they had ever seen a musician that was of Asian descent.
Oh, wow.
And it made a huge impression upon
them.
That's
wonderful. I think the one reason that Alpen is able to communicate so well is because he's one of those artists who knows how to meet an audience at whatever entry point they're coming to him.
Yeah.
So, you know, you saw it when he sits down and he's got a room full of third graders. He starts saying, "Hey, do you guys know this song?" And he starts to play Mario Brothers, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh my gosh!" They're thinking they're going to come see some boring pianist play. And then this guy starts playing video game music. And then he subtly sits there and he goes, "Isn't that sound like them? What if I change one note? What does it sound like now? Now, is that what happens in level 3 when the mushrooms start exploding?" And he has just very slyly taught them the difference between major and minor. And they don't even know they learned something. But we got letters back from kids who said, "I really thought it was cool when he taught us how if you change one note, you can make something scary."
You know? That really did impress them.
It did.
Every time, just bong.
And he really had. I know that he had a really great effect on him. And there, in fact, there's some people who've already asked us, you know, when are we bringing Alpen back again? And
he was simply amazing.
And we're already, you know, we're ready to start talking, you know, about the next True North tour and bringing another group of artists to the North State. And I think it's part of the Chico State mission. You know, we want to make sure that we serve our entire region. You know, you know how they divide the California State Universities up into regions. Well, our region is, oh my gosh, it's 14 counties. It's
14,
huge. It's the
really?
Size of the state of Maine.
Yeah,
you know, it goes from the Oregon border down to, you know, Yuba County, and then over from the coastal range all the way over to the Nevada border.
That's amazing.
A huge parcel of land and all these communities, and you know it's our job to serve them, and we serve it, you know,
multitude of ways
in very different ways. There's a lot of programs, whether it's agricultural extension or SNAP, you know, nutrition programs that we're putting out, you know, beyond Chico, but I think it's important that the arts have a place beyond Chico, too.
Oh, me too. And I'm so glad that you've taken this up. One thing that I think the community doesn't realize is when you bring someone like Alpen, he did what is called, he was here for, 10 days? I think it was 10 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I just wanted you to kind of explain a little bit about a residency versus just bringing somebody in to perform.
Yeah. We do both. You know, there's a lot of artists that come in and give that evening performance. But when we have the opportunity with an artist like Alpen or an artist like Joe Good, who's with us here, we want to do what we call a residency, where they're here for an extended period of time, that we arrange for them to have connections with audiences outside of a performance hall, whether that's in a school or in a you know, a senior living center or in a community hall or someplace, sort of we'll take that artist to whomever we're taking it. So if it's in the case of Joe, he's doing master classes, what we call master classes, where he'll take dance students and dance with them, but in a studio setting. So all of a sudden, these dancers who get to have this great experience where a professional dancer or dance company comes into their studio and dances with them. Mm-hmm. And then they get to maybe that night come and see that dancer perform. I mean, that's a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
With Alpen, if for instance, he spent a day at the Inspire School for the Arts, And I can tell you those kids were inspired after he left. The kids came out and they said, oh my gosh, an hour with him coaching our choir, we've never sounded so good. This was so fantastic. Yeah. It was just so wonderful. And what I loved about Alpin was he came in and he coached, and then he handed the baton back to the teacher. Yeah. Because he said, it's easy for me to come in here and just, you know, be slick for an hour or so. But, you know, the reason you guys already sound so good is because you've got good teachers.
Yeah.
And he sort of then handed that baton back to them. And so he was just a wonderful, inspirational artist. So anytime we get a chance to do that residency, that extended time, then we're going a little deeper, and we can be more impactful with an artist that we bring to the community.
Absolutely. My name's Deborah Lucero, and you're listening to Butte Views and Beyond, and I am here in studio with Stephen Cummins of Chico Performances. And just before we go, do you have anything else coming up that you really want to talk about here? We're going to take a little musical break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Bob Marciniak with the city of Oroville, and he's going to tell us a little bit about what's happening over there with their historical, all their wonderful museums and some of their special events that are coming up.
There's a lot going on in Oroville.
Always.
What do we have that's special coming up? Oh my gosh. Well, I rattled off the long list of events. I just would encourage people to get out and see a show. Please,
yeah.
Get out and see a show. It doesn't matter whether it's at Chico Performances or Cafe Coda or the Big Room or wherever you go, just go out and see live music and see a play at the Blue Room. It's like we said, it's transformational. It's inspirational.
Yeah. Get out and do the arts.
Absolutely.
Get off the sofa. All right. Well, thank you, Stephen. Thanks for coming in. And up next is just a little bit of music, probably jazz. Right, and up next is Bob Marciniak. Are you out there, Bob?
Yes, I am.
All
is that
right.
Dave Brubeck playing?
It's Arturo O'Farrell, who's going to be at Laxon Auditorium April 11th. He's
wow.
Part of our NorCal Jazz Festival.
Well, it was really nice listening to it.
All right. So, Bob, you are with the city of Oroville, and you have been involved in all kinds of tourism activities and assisting with all the wonderful museums that you have over there. And I get your newsletter all the time. And anyway, I love what Oroville is doing, and I know that you have had a heavy hand in getting the word out. So what should we be looking for over there? What's happening in Oroville?
What's happening?
Yeah.
Well, there's something happening probably every minute of every day. But the thing we're focusing on right now is the Wednesday night Farmers Market, which is in the historic downtown district.
Yes.
This used to be a market that we had about 7-8 years ago, and then it for some reason stopped. But the Downtown Business Association has done a great job getting it up and running. They're calling it a growing farmers market, which is kind of an interesting use of words. But at the moment, they have about 30 vendors. And as the growing season continues for vegetables and fruit, they hope to have over 50 vendors. They have live music. They have hot food. So it's in the historic downtown district,
yeah, which
is kind of neat in itself.
Absolutely. I don't know how many of our listeners have gotten over to downtown Oroville, but...
Well, they better start coming over.
Well, I'm telling you, you know, I just adore that downtown. You know, first of all, how many downtowns have the beautiful Feather River running right down the middle of the town and a beautiful levee? And then you have really, literally, the original buildings, the brick buildings from the Gold Rush era.
Right. So it's funny you should mention that, because on Wednesday evenings at 5:30, the Oroville Inn, which is going to be going under a complete refurbishment, just absolutely, it will take it back to the jewel that it was. But until April 8th, which is only two more Wednesdays, there are actually tours of the building at the moment.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. So people can come down. There's no charge.
Yeah.
You need to sign up in advance at Mugshots, which is on Montgomery Street, a small coffee shop. And you get the opportunity to hear from a historian who will walk you through the building, tell you all about it.
Wow.
You get to go to several of the different floors, and the last two groups actually were allowed to go up on the roof and see the incredible view from the top. It's the tallest building in Oroville.
Wow.
And it's been neglected for a long time. The city purchased it out of a tax sale a few years ago, and they have sold it to a local developer who is going to do absolutely wonderful things to it.
So when was that hotel built? I'm having a hard time bringing up that fact in my mind.
Sure.
And also, what famous president
Deborah,
stayed there?
I'm at home having a glass of wine, and I don't have those details with me.
But do you have an... What about the president?
I want to say around 1920,
yeah.
25.
Yeah.
They actually have, if you're anyone that's on Facebook, if you Facebook, Oroville Inn, you'll actually bring up some historic pictures of when it was in its heyday, and the developer that purchased it intends to take it back to how it looked. So we're really excited. The first thing is going to be exterior renovations with windows, all new painting. That in itself will just be almost beyond belief.
Oh, you know, the other thing I would just love to see Oroville do, you know, if it's on my wish list, is the exposition building that used to be on the levee, that was kind of that beautiful glass building that I've seen photographs of at the Butte Historical Society. I mean, it was one of the most phenomenal buildings I've ever seen.
Well, it's you said it used to be on the levee. It's still there.
Oh, well.
It's currently the municipal auditorium, and we do have a long-term plan for complete renovations. Currently, we're going to be starting interior renovations with a new kitchen, new heating, air conditioning, restrooms all brought up to ADA speed, and then we're in the process of trying to find an additional grant or grants to do the exterior. All the architectural drawings are done to basically flip it back to what it looked like in 1902.
Oh, that's going to be beautiful.
We're really excited about that. So you take that and you take the Oroville Inn. They're kind of one of the three anchors of the downtown. And, of course, the third one is the State Theater. And the exterior of that building has been completely redone and brought back to where it was when it was built.
Well, you know, that's one thing that Oroville just has. It just seems never-ending. It's just this incredible history, and it is just beautiful. You know, just the elevation, all of the foothills there. And I know that coming up, I believe, is the Wildflower and Nature Festival also.
It is. Actually, it's on Saturday, April the 4th. It'll be at Riverbend Park, which is at Highway 70 and Montgomery Street. We have, as of yesterday, 50 booths that will range from anything that you might like to eat to all kinds of interactive flower-related activities. We also have a shuttle bus that will take people up to Table Mountain so they can see actual wildflowers, hoping to have maybe one or two light rainfalls, or preferably
nice,
heavy, but we'll settle for light. It'll be a fun day, lots of music. It runs from 9 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, and it's something for the entire family. We have things planned for the youngest, and we have things planned for the oldest.
Now, the other thing that I thought was very interesting that you've started to do in Oroville, I mean, you've always really done them in the individual museums, but the museum talks that
we're actually calling it, quote, museum talks, and it's kind of like the museums are speaking to you. We've done five so far. They have averaged anywhere from 20 to 30 people coming for the talk. After the talk, which runs about an hour, you have an opportunity to have a guided tour of the museum. If you don't want the guided tour, you're welcome to walk around. The one that's coming up it'll actually be in April, and I believe on April 24th, will be at the Lott Home on Montgomery Street, and it's going to be called Tea with Cornelia Lott Sank. And Cornelia Lott Sank was the daughter of Judge Lott.
And is that going to be played by our Miss Alberta Tracy?
Actually not.
No?
We do have a different person that's going to be doing that, and she will be in full costume, but participants will have the opportunity to sit down with tea and probably cookies or some other light snack, hear all about it, and then actually have the opportunity to tour this beautiful location, which encompasses an entire city square block.
Yeah,
the last one was a week ago, Saturday, and it was well attended, and it was about doctors and hospitals in early Oroville.
Wow. Now, you know, my mother was born on 3rd Street in, a midwife kind of set up, but it was the only doctor that delivered around in that area, and I guess that home. Do you know the home I'm talking about? It's on 3rd?
I believe I do.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of people were born in that home, and in that era, that would have been in the 30s.
Right, and of course, the home of Oroville Hospital, which the city had purchased, and a very old building that had, again, fallen into disrepair, is now the Orange Tree Senior Apartments.
Wow.
And it's a fantastic location for people over 55. And, I sound like an infomercial, but I believe they're full at the moment. We're hoping they'll build another building in town. But they did a wonderful job at that location. And they actually kept the old wrought iron fence from the hospital and some of the original palm trees that were there.
Now, isn't that the one that's across from St. Thomas?
It's just down the street.
It's actually
on Robinson Street. St. Thomas is on Bird Street, but it's in the same neighborhood, which is the historic neighborhood. And of course, downtown Oroville has lots of beautiful craftsmen and turn-of-the-century type homes to just wander up and down the street and look at.
Well, I have to tell you, I got on Facebook because I have an extreme curiosity about the Oroville Inn, and I'm looking at some beautiful old pictures. I would encourage our listeners to go to Facebook and type in Oroville Inn, and you can see the beauty, which the facade that you see in the first black and white photographs that were shared, that facade is still there.
It's still there, and the awnings are not there, but they're coming back, and like I said, the developer has every intention to make it look as it did, and however have all of the wonderful accommodations of today's life.
Yeah, and I was just trying to rack my brain on the president who stayed there. I mean, that used to be a pretty...
It was quite the hotel.
It was quite
right.
The hotel. It was a place to be and to be seen.
Right, and if your listeners are kind of wandering around Facebook, check out the City of Oroville Facebook page. We updated it at least on a every other day basis, and it currently has the new city newsletter on it, and talks about not only the Flower Festival, but Feather Fiesta Days that are coming up just right around the corner.
Yeah, Feather Fiesta Days, and with one of the biggest one-day car shows in Northern California. Very
Absolutely.
Fun event.
Yeah.
And then in September, you have the very famous Oroville Salmon Festival, which draws about 20,000 people from literally all over.
For a one-day event.
Yes, and that's just an amazing one. And then one of my favorites is your down-home Parade of Lights. Mm-hmm. I love that. And, of course, I can't skip the 4th of July fireworks. You guys
right.
go all out and have a beautiful display over Lake Oroville. So,
well, we're a small town, 16,000 plus. We're actually growing. We're going to be at about 23,000 here in the next 60 days with the annexation of Southside. But the Oroville area has 50,000 people, and they're spread out throughout the foothills. It's a beautiful, gorgeous, rolling area, unlike the flat pancakes of most of the other cities.
Ah, now, don't be dissing all those other cities. Come on.
Give me that glass of wine.
Well, your listeners, you are listening to Butte Views and Beyond, and he was just kidding about all those other flatlanders out there.
Absolutely.
And Bob Marciniak with the City of Oroville is on the line. My name is Deborah Lucero, and I'm the host of Butte Views and Beyond. So, Butte Views and Beyond is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Dahlmeyer Insurance Agency, a full-service independent agent and retail broker since 1948. Dahlmeyer Insurance provides a wide range of coverage options for individual needs, from homeowners and auto insurance to farm and ranch coverage. Dahlmeyer offers assistance by calling 342-6421 in Chico and 533-3424 in Oroville, also at chicoinsurance.com. All right, Bob, thank you so much for tuning in. And
okay, and I hope you invite me back.
We always will. You know, we love Oroville.
All right, I know
okay.
you do.
All
and,
right.
And we love all the surrounding areas.
You're trying to make up for it now, I know.
You know how it goes.
All right, thanks
okay,
a
thank
lot.
You.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, Butte Views and Beyond. We'll see you next time for Thursday.
Peanut butter jelly time. Way out.